One way that New York stands out in our data, and this is from our fiscal balance indicator, is that it's really one of just six states that face long-term budget deficits.
Hi there, it's WAMC News Director Ian Pickus, and on this episode of the WAMC News Podcast, what states should be planning for when the federal funding dries up. The last several years have been a roller coaster for state and local budget writers who confronted the disruption and uncertainty of the COVID pandemic, which torpedoed revenues, then an influx of federal aid that shored things up in the near term but left question marks in the out years. New research from the Pew Charitable Trust finds the portion of state budgets coming from federal funds hit a record high in fiscal year 2021, and federal grants to states topped $1 trillion for the first time the next year. But tax revenue is slowing, and that level of federal aid is not likely to continue, no matter what happens on Election Day. Well, joining us now to break down some of the trends confronting states is Pew's Justin Thiel. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Ian.
To begin with, how are things looking for states as we speak here in mid-September?
Right. So state, as you mentioned, state budget conditions have really defied expectations since the pandemic start. But this era of extraordinary financial gains has come to a close. And now policymakers are facing the reality of weakening revenue and rising spending pressures.
Are there certain states that have become over-reliant on federal funding in their own budgets?
Right. The way that we look at federal funds that go directly to states is the share that federal funds make up of states' total revenue. And so not so much how much they are reliant on federal funds. Of course, having a larger portion of federal funds going to a state is going to make a difference if you see a lot of those federal funds dry up, if Congress and the executive look to pare back federal spending in the future, certain states might be more at risk of budget disruptions.
Why is it expected that revenue will be on the decline in the years ahead?
Right. So overall, part of what led to states' revenue surge over the last couple of years has been higher than expected tax revenue as the economy rebounded faster than expected. A huge portion of the story has to do with just unprecedented amounts of federal pandemic aid that went directly to states. This led to more personal income taxes, more sales taxes from people spending that money, businesses being more active, and states collecting corporate income taxes. And then, of course, the federal aid that went directly to state governments that helped produced such great budget conditions in the immediate aftermath of the pandemic. But of course, all of these factors that I just listed are really temporary in nature. And so what we're seeing now is the unwinding of a lot of those temporary factors and states trying to navigate this downturn in revenues.
Now, didn't state budget makers know that this was a temporary time period, you know, coming out of COVID and with these big federal programs? I mean, shouldn't they have planned ahead?
Well, a lot of states knew that the federal revenue was temporary. In many cases, federal aid during an economic downturn is easier to manage because you have a very explicit expiration date. And the additional tax revenue that many states collected, which turned out to be about 40% more tax revenue than pre-pandemic trend lines would have expected given those pre-pandemic trends. That is a little bit more difficult, very much more difficult for states to sort of project out in the future and build a budget around. According to one of the indicators that we track, state tax revenue was actually 15% higher than its long-term trend back in 2022 during the sort of peak of that higher than expected tax revenue period. And so, managing the unwinding of that higher than expected tax revenue has really been an unprecedented sort of uncertainty for many states during this time.
So let's talk about Medicaid. You know, a lot of the local governments we cover here in New York State refer to it as an unfunded mandate, and they have a really hard time managing their share of the cost. How is Medicaid playing into these dynamics?
Right. So one of the big portions of the federal pandemic response that went directly to states was extra money to help states and local governments cover the costs of additional Medicaid enrollment, of additional, just the cost of providing healthcare to enrollees. And so one of the challenges has been this expiration of that federal additional Medicaid aid, which happened at the end of last year. And so we're seeing a little bit more pressure on states to cover now those costs that the federal dollars covered before. So that's an increasing pressure on state budgets overall, sort of leading to less fiscal flexibility to increase spending for things like, you know, teachers' wages, or maybe offer another tax cut. Those are both things that state pursued when, you know, they were experiencing much better budgetary times just a few years ago. The one way that we look at Medicaid is how much of state resources have to go to fund that program, and how does that differ from the long-term trend? And the most recent data we have is from 2022. And so in that year, we saw that about 13 cents of every state-generated dollar was spent on Medicaid, which is about 3 cents less than the 15-year average. But one thing I want to point out is that the portion of state budgets that has to be dedicated towards Medicaid is really set to spike in the next year or so, as we see that federal portion of Medicaid costs expire. The federal aid that went to cover a significant chunk of Medicaid costs expire, and states then have to take on more of that financial responsibility.
So what is the likely impact of that? I mean, you mentioned that, you know, some states might not be able to continue certain programs or favored policies, but obviously, there's only a set amount of pie to divvy up.
Exactly. And one example we have was back during the Great Recession of 2007 and 2009, Congress awarded very similar financial aid directly to state governments, both broad aid as well as specific to Medicaid. And we saw that back about a decade or so ago, states did not manage the temporary nature of that federal aid as well as they have over the last couple of years. And so we saw what some people call a fiscal cliff, where a lot of that federal aid expired, and states were left sort of holding the bag, holding the financial responsibility for a lot of those spending increases and tax cuts that they had made. So to be sure, states have managed federal aid a lot better this time around in response to the pandemic and economic downturn. But it could mean that in certain areas like public transit and childcare, states could really face a budgetary squeeze when they have to take on that additional responsibility again.
How do we know that ARPA and other kind of pandemic aid programs, you know, won't be repeated or return in some new form when the next, you know, administration is in and there's a new Congress?
That's true. We don't have a crystal ball into the future. In response to the pandemic, I mentioned before that Congress and the federal government provided just unprecedented amounts of federal aid. When we think about the likelihood of the federal government doing that again in the future to the same extent, we've already seen a lot of discussion around, you know, what the impact of the totality of the federal government's response to the pandemic, what that has been on the national deficit and debt, and how that has led to a lot of discussion at the federal level about, how to manage the unprecedented national debt right now, and where could we pare back? Where could the federal government pare back in the future? And so we think that Congress would be reluctant to award the same level of aid in the future during another economic downturn. And that is something that states should also be considering right now, is, you know, can they expect the same magnitude of federal aid to be there like it has been in the past if states face another downturn in the future?
In other words, is COVID really a once-in-a-lifetime phenomenon, or when the next virus is going around that really impacts society, the federal government may not have such an outsized response, is what you're saying, or whatever sort of downturn.
Right. And I think that one thing to consider is that looking ahead, we know that nearly half of states, half of Americans already live in states that are reporting short-term budget gaps or potentially long-term deficits or both. And we know this because some states actually produce these what's called long-term budget assessments, or they do what's called a stress test on their budgets. And they're basically looking out beyond the current budget cycle, 3, 5, 10, 20 years down the line, to see how their finances, if they're on a sustainable trajectory or not, and if they're prepared for the next downturn. And so I think that while the next economic downturn might not be on the immediate horizon, we are already seeing the stressors of that weakening revenues and the rising spending that I mentioned before really impact the state's finances today.
Is there anything else from this data that jumps out to you that you'd like to share with our listeners that I haven't asked you about?
Right. So one way that New York stands out in our data, and this is from our fiscal balance indicator, is that it's really one of just six states that face long-term budget deficits alongside New Jersey, Illinois, Connecticut, Hawaii, and Massachusetts. And really what this means is that over the last 15 years, New York has reported budget deficits in 11 of those years, which really highlights the persistent sort of structural fiscal challenges facing the state.
So what should we do about it?
Right. So one thing is to really get a handle on that the state can work on, if it doesn't already do this, is getting a handle on its recurring and recurring spending and recurring revenues to make sure they line up. That is a step one. And then the other thing that New York can do, if it's not already producing a budget stress test and a long-term budget assessment, which are going to make sure that the state really is able to understand and understand whether its state finances are on a sustainable trajectory into the future, and whether the state is prepared for the next recession, ideally without having to make those very painful tax increases and spending cuts that are all too associated with recessions in the past.
We've been speaking with Justin Thiel from Pew. It's been a pleasure to pick your brain. Thank you so much for sharing this research with us.
Thank you, Ian. Happy to be here.
Okay, that does it for this episode of the WAMC News Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time, I'm Ian Pekes.